Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and good afternoon to those that are listening wherever you are. This is Doctrine of Truth. I'm your host, Bishop Poole. And we would like to have you to express your opinion on views of the subject today. The subject is Stop the Stress and Be Blessed. Stop the stress and be blessed. So much happening today because of the end time, a situation everywhere. The Bible speaks of this, the time of sorrow, because of what? Storms, earthquakes, rioting, wars, all of these in play, and people are, regardless of what religion, are going through stressful times. But you know, the Bible, God's Word, has the answer. It has the answer, and we would like to explore it, and we would like to have you to be our guest to call in at 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. We begin our reading in the book of Matthew's, and we're going to show four different translations this morning. But the Bible said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let my word be established. In the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter, beginning with the 25th verse, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet not your heavenly Father feed them. Are you not more valuable than they? And can any of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I will tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive after all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:25-33. Did you watch the other translation? That was King James, the Amplified Translation. And we're going to take just certain portions of it. Amplified Translation says, in the 33rd verse, it says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, the kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And all these things taken together will be given you besides. Do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of itself. Sufficient is each day of its own troubles. Now notice the American Standard says in the 23rd verse of the 6th chapter, Matthew's, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, International Translation, the 23rd verse of the 6th chapter, Matthew's, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, for each day has enough troubles of its own. Each day carries enough troubles of its own. So we're talking about stress and being stressful and the problems that we have, that God has an answer for all of that. And we want to borrow. Here's some information of an author called Maggie Session. And so she said, stress less. And there's some scripture writing as well as some interpretation of her own. But she had used apples of gold here, a poem here compiled by Joe Pettit and the publisher C.R. Gibson Company. And notice what he says here about stress and worrying. Worry never climbs a hill. Worry never pay a bill. Worry never dry a tear. And worry claims calms a fear. Worry never dare to heal. Worry never cooks a meal. Worry never lead a horse to water. Worry never done a thing you think it oughta. And the Bible is true. Sometimes we have to reflect on things that God has done for us. If we think about some of the things in our life that worry has done, did it really help? Did worry really help? You know, if you think about it, and did it ever, do you know one thing that was done that eliminated worry? Does one thing you ever done that eliminated worry? And Peter said it on 1 Peter 3:10 and 11, and Peter was saying that those who desire life and desire to seek good days, let them seek peace and pursue it. You know, the Bible says we follow after peace, but it also in the Psalms it said, seek peace. Okay, don't stop there though, don't stop, but pursue peace, pursue, you know, constantly working. And our life, one author would speak of, and I can't remember the name of it, say, 10% of our life, things happen to us, and we take 90% to react what the 10% that what happened. So maybe somebody scratched your car, and you took all of that day concerning about, oh, what happened? Who was it? Who is this? Why do they want to do this? You know, asking questions, who, what, when, after that 4 or 5 hours after the incident, you know, constantly bombarding your life and your thoughts and your mind. So what are we saying today? What is God is saying? God is saying that he can handle it and he can work with it. And we need to just, you know, practice, stop stress, practice to stop worrying. And we have to practice, you know, to find things that share things. And that's what we, this radio broadcast is about, sharing. Now notice what Matthew 6 and 25 says, that he said the birds of the air. Now, at the bottom of the, I like to add this scripture, Matthew 7 and 7, in the New American Standard, it said, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find. Now, if you notice, a lot of animals, they're always on the move. They're always on the move. And here, the author speaks about birds. They're networking together. He doesn't say a bird. He says birds. They're moving together. They're sharing. They're helping one another. They have the same cause. They have the same problem. And many times you should seek after people that have the same problem, have the same desires that you have, you know, like the same vision, and they're working towards solving Because if you have faith, the Bible says faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But also faith, you have to have action, trusting in God. A man that come after God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. So that's Hebrews 11. So you know you got that God, you got faith in God, and you have a problem. And God put it within the birds, and he give them wings to feed themselves. They don't store up. They don't build, some of them, but they just move from one section to another, constantly looking for that day, for that daily bread. You know, we pray, Lord, give us our daily bread. Lord, give us that spiritual word. Lord, give us that day. Now, when we pray and, you know, reach God in heaven, he give us a spiritual insight. He give us a spiritual word. But also, he also interject in our mind and soul. Now, listen. Okay, you trust me. Now move out and get the natural results, seeking the natural conclusion of the whole matter. In other words, you know, you say, well, Lord, I need you to help me in my finance. And he might give you a word to say, oh, okay. Oh, that's right. I didn't think about applying in this place. So you don't sit around and wait for a bird to bring you a blessing and drop an application at your door. You know, somebody you never know come by and give you some money and all that. No, you get up, you move, seeking. The birds seek. That's action. Birds seek. We have to seek. We have to do something to help eliminate. Because, you know, God gives vocal cords. He gives us two legs, two arms, and he gives us a mind. And we have to keep our mind positive. And we work and we move towards that results. Because, now listen. If a bird here, let's say we're in Florida, and there's nothing in Florida, there's no food in Florida. Okay, no food in Florida. Everything dried up. Or better yet, let's say not like now, during the northern part of the United States and other parts of the world, let's say it's very cold, very cold. And we have a lot of birds migrating. They're migrating. They're coming into the summer area. Why? There's no food in the snow for them. There's no food. The temperature is too cold. You know, there's no place for a bird. The trees, the leaves have fallen off the trees. Nothing there. So you know what they do? They don't hide in the ground and wait. Say, oh, no. Let's move. Where? Let's go down south. Let's go to South America. Let's go south part of the United States. There's food there, right temperature. So they move. Same thing applies with your problem, your situation. If we seek God's knowledge and we seek God's insight, he give us revelations. He give us understanding about, you know what, if the answer is not here, don't settle for that. Let's keep searching. There's some other birds in other part of the world can verify. Yes, come on down south. They be networking. Come on down south. Or they met a bird. They met a bird when it wasn't no snow in the north. They met a bird with no snow in the north, and they begin to discuss about, oh, how beautiful it was, if the weather stayed the same, and you know, and they begin to share. So when it started getting cold, they decided, okay, I better go south. I'm going south. Now, we have to understand, you know, God's word has an answer, and we share one from another. So faith, when you do things, when you work after solving your problem, you know, you feel more relieved. You feel more relieved concerning that you're doing things and you're seeking God. And that will give you a peace of mind. If you notice that Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but rather of power, sound, and a sound mind. Now, fear, if you break the word down, fear, you find it has false evidence, appear real, false evidence. Appear real. You know, in your mind, it says, oh, I can't do this. You know, the battlefield now, let me make a comment, inject this. The battlefield is in your mind. Okay, we have a caller, and we have a caller online. Caller, you're welcome. We're talking about. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Hello?
Praise the Lord, Bishop Poole. This is Pastor Carlos and Pastor Deborah.
God bless you. God bless you. God to have you.
God bless you. And we just got on and heard the last latter part regarding the battlefields in the mind.
Okay.
And I'd like to just share that. Sure
right
enough, in this day and age, a lot of people go into stressful relationships or stressful situations, and then it begins to attack them in the mind. And, you know, instead of crying out to the Lord, they become depressed or low self-esteem or whatever because they're allowing the enemy to attack them in that area.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, God bless you. I appreciate your word. Very powerful man and woman of God. God bless you.
May I ask a question, Pastor?
Yes, yes, go right ahead.
Yes, if you can explain, Bishop, what does it mean to you said the battlefield is in the mind. Can you explain that? Explain it to me.
Okay.
What type of battle is it?
Okay, this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle that deals with where the enemy brings in the past, your past, and it also brings up fears that you never encourage or knew anything about. Maybe you heard about it. You know, they're like the Paul said, put on the whole arm of God from the fierce dots of the wicked. Just a little dot. You might go someplace, and all of a sudden you might see something, and the enemy say, oh, you know, that's going to happen to you. That might happen to you. So what we have to do as saints of God, like Paul says, stir up our minds. In Ephesians, they have a song, a hymn, a spiritual song. Then we also have to renew our mind. You know, we have to prove out what is good and what is acceptable in God's eyesight. So all the time, Paul said he finds that there's a war in his members. You're not going to stop this war. You just have to learn how to deal with it. You see?
Amen.
So all the time, there's going to be a war for your mind. All right, God bless you. Man,
okay, amen. Call. Thank you, Bishop.
God bless you. Thank you for calling.
God bless you.
Yes, we're talking about stress today, how to be stressed, stop the stress, and be blessed. Now, there's some comments, there's some things that I found throughout discussing with other people, and I've learned, you know, said they... A gentleman out of England, I can't remember his name. He said, human beings are like a tea bag. It's like a tea bag. So when trouble comes or responsibility, you don't know what's going to come out of their life. You know, you take a tea bag and you put it in hot water, and, you know, you don't know what to expect to come out of the tea. Is a good tea or not a good tea? But, you know, there are things in our lives. Jesus, for example, Peter told Jesus, Lord, I never leave you. Oh, Lord, Jesus said, wait a minute, Peter. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. See, when we go through trials and tribulation, it's like an athlete training himself to be competitive, to push his body to being a winning position to win the contest. And when God allows things that he knows we can bear, he knows we can take it, because he doesn't put no more on us than we can bear. God does not throw things on us, allow things, because he said he'd be with us always. He allows certain things, you know, for that we can deal with, or we find out, oh, I need to prep myself more in this area. Sometimes this might be the environment you in, or your circle of men or women, that your association, some bring negative spirits in on certain subjects and things, and you find yourself being more aware of their comments in time of trouble and stress, what they did. But, you know, there are some weak Christians and there are some strong ones. And so because a person say, well, yeah, he's a child of God or whatever, but they might not be at a certain levels in their lives. Some have gone through the Red Sea, and some have been in and out of the furnace, fiery furnace, and some haven't been there yet, but they still maybe went with God. So there are some single parents, you know, that got married, and now they dealing with the past, what they used to do. Same with, you know, pastors. They come in and they have to deal with all type of different spirits and lifestyles. And we have to learn the steps that God allows us as we begin to grow and go. He give us the answers to these things. A lot of times it's just a matter of growing. You can't get all the answers. But, you know, fear, you know, fear knocks at the door. Fear knocks at the door. And they say, oh, the lion is out there. The lion is out there. Don't go outside. Don't go outside. You know, oh, don't go out there. It's too cold. It's too hot. And all of a sudden, faith say, open the door. Faith say, go ahead. And you open the door and say, okay, fear, I'm coming. I'm bringing my sword, my word of God. You know, I got my hymn and my song. Come on, come on. We're going to fight now. We're going to fight. And you open the door, nobody there. Nothing there. Nothing there. Because of what? The enemy had injected an idea, a comment, a song on your mind, and your mind built on it. You know, our mind, Paul said in Philippians 4, he said, think on these things. Think on these things. Whatever just, whatever is faithful, whatever is good desires, whatever is honest, whatever good report. You know, think on these things. And Paul has said about renewing our mind. I remember the early part of my ministry, and I always been an impulsive person, a workaholic. I used to set my mind on a certain thing, and my rewards. So after I finished, accomplished, maybe sometime, long time, I said, well, we're going to have prayer this week, and certain days we're going to miss a breakfast or whatever, or fasting, praying. Or then at the end of that, I found myself one night, and I said, well, I was watching the clock. You know, a baby Christian, you say the time, say, okay, all right, now we're going to fast from 12 to 12. Well, anyway, this time, I was in the kitchen cooking some coffee, and the coffee was about ready, and I said, okay. And the Spirit said, you don't need no coffee. I said, yes, I do. I need my coffee. I said, no, you don't need your coffee. I said, yes, I do. I need my coffee. No, you don't need. I said, wait a minute. And I caught myself. I said, oh, it's not my wife. And I said, oh, Lord. Because of the fact I was, you know, when you come up, your lifestyle, your family pays a lot of, it installed a lot of investment in your past, in your mind. And as you get older, you say, I won't be denied of this or this or this or this. And Paul said he learned. Paul said he had learned whatever state he's in. He learned to be abased, abound. In other words, he learned how to adapt in any situation. So being adaptable, learn how to adapt when you become a Christian in a new world, in a new lifestyle. You know, you can kind of consider a woman when she marries into another man's name, into a family, and she have to adapt to new friends and new relatives. And same with the husband. He had to learn her family situations. You know, they learn to get along because of love, give and take, And I had set my mind on, say, this is my reward. And I realized it wasn't about the coffee, but it was about being disappointed, about being let down, about I got to have this. I got to have this. I am, you know, this is what I need, whatever. And the enemy will use that. He watches you. He find out your weak parts, or he's subtle. He's subtle. Now, in the book of Genesis, the Bible speaks about Satan. He's subtle. He's crafty. So what that mean? If you and I have the same weapons and in the same physical condition, the war is equal. The battle is going to be equal. But what he has to find, he has to catch you off guard. He has to catch you unexpected. And that will be his edge to win the fight. But don't forget now, Jesus is the referee. And the angels and God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all of them, they're down and keeping records, the judges. So when you're in the ring, and the enemy got you off guard, and one of them devils hit you in the back with a chair or something, you know, Jesus, he'll ring, he'll ring, take a break, take a break, take a break. No, you go to the corner, you go to that corner, because he's always in the ring with you. Jesus is always in the ring. We already won the fight. Just a matter of how you stand in the ring. And he wanted to stand up and, you know, put up a good fight. Good fight of faith. Good fight of faith. Because what it does, it builds your faith. It builds your faith. Now, the book of Jude speak of how to build your faith. The book of Jude say, you know, my brethren, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build up your most holy faith. Prayer builds. You get in, I know we get in a situation. There's a one comment you hear around concerning stress and worration. You say, let go and let God. Well, what do you mean, let go and let God? Well, Jude 20 verse, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer bills. Prayer bills. There's one, say, let go and let God. Sometimes you hear that comment. Well, we are responsible to do something about our problem. You know, Bible says, seek and you'll find. So we try to, as people of God and people, period, you know, birds, they do fly. God gave them wings to fly. So as men and women of God, or even adults, we ourselves try sometimes we try too much to handle the problem. So we let go once we have done something righteous towards the problem. Something righteous towards the problem. Then after that, you let go. You start praying. Say, God, you got it. I've done all I can do. You know, I can just, you know, I worked at it. I prayed on it. You know, and I did talk to other people. I thought, I saw other information about it. And when you feel you have exhausted all, and you feel within you, say, okay, I'm going to let go now. And depend on God to bring people and circumstances to you, because you have planted the seed. You planted the seed. You have called. You have talked. You have knocked. And now you planted the seed. And you're going to let go and let God have it. You're going to pray. And you have to be careful where you plant, you know, who you talk to, where you go. So that's one cliche you hear, to let go and let God, let go and let God. The next one you heard of is about don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. So, well, what's that about? Well, you have to privatize your life. What's important? What's very important to you and your livelihood, your family? You know, privatize. Sit down and say, okay, God, the family, my career, you know, whatever. I know God has to be number one. Now, God, the family, if everybody is gone, you got your family. You know, your dad, your family going to be there. And if nobody don't want you, your family, and if all the family don't want you, you know, at least you got somebody in the family. So you got your family and how you support yourself, whatever means you have, investment you have, then you sit down the line. But there are some things that people come to you. If you ever have people come to you always with 911, now, you know, emergency. Oh, I need you. I got to have your car. I got to, the last minute. And that's what Genesee is talking about. The devil, he's subtle. He's subtle. He's crafty. You know, he's trying to catch you off guard, trying to hit you with an evil dot or something to throw you. Here you are, and all of a sudden, oh, I need your car, I need your car. Oh, I need you. Oh, I'm going to be thrown out of my house. Oh, people hit you with those 911s, and they never give you enough information or time enough to prepare to see, can you help? No, they want to catch you off guard. They want to catch you. And all of a sudden, you begin to worry. Oh, God, Lord, I gave them my car. I don't know if they got a driving license. I don't know if they got a driving license. Oh, Lord, I gave them a check. And I didn't mean to write that much. How can I pay my light bill, water bill? You know, the enemy want to catch you off guard. And next thing you know, you're worrying. You're worrying. You're stressing yourself. Proverbs says that bitterness dries the bone. Bitterness dries the bone. So here you are, stressed up, tense, and you know your nerves, you're on the pins and needles. Someone say, "Oh, you're on my last nerve now. You got to stop it." And you pressure, you. In other words, let's write. Let's see where that's coming from. Where is got to isolate this thing now? Where is this stress coming from? Because you got to work on it. You got to work on it. We have to work on it and analyze it to see where it's coming from. And many times at this scale, I have a scale here of social readjustment rating. And some of the top of the things, life-changing events that create stress, which is the death of a spouse, divorce. That brings stress, a marital separation that brings stress. Jail time creates stress. Death of a closest member of the family, that's about 63%. They create deaths. Personal injuries and illness is 53%. Death of a close member is 63%. Marriage, that's 50% stress. Fired at the job is 47%. Marital reconciliation is 45%. You know, retirement, you got 45%. People get stressful doing that because of, you know, environmental change and situation that you go through, readjusting in life and time, and, you know, the change of health in the family members, 44%. Pregnancy is 40%. So we can go on down the line. Some of the things that, you know, maybe you have run into problems to, you know, itemize it, set it down, and take a look. Say, well, what's causing it? What's causing it? What's causing it? You know, what's causing the problem? All right, if you'd like to be a caller, at 1-347-215-8816, 1-347-215-8816. How are you dealing with stress or worration? And what are some of the methods that you use? Maybe you're aware that you have a method, but not sure that, you know, you practice it. Maybe the Lord will give you things from time to time. You know, walking is a good way, physical exercise, and walking and talking. Writing letters. Write yourself a letter. Or write it down. You know, that could be a great help to you. But what helps you? What helps you to get through? What helps you to get through some of the things that you go through, stressful situations? We speak of, and there's another that I've heard, and you can just, because the mind is such a battlefield, and we have to keep our mind stirred up, keep working on it until we want to, we can be able to program it. You know, you heard so much about, you know, the the mind been wiped clean, or someone had reprogrammed the mind and all of that. Well, it can be trained, and you know, but since we have the Spirit of God, it helps us. It brings back to our remembrance, and God also gives us visions and dreams. When we pray, we pray and ask God and talk to Him through the Spirit of God. There was a time when, example, David had gone through so much, and he had done so many things wrong. And he prays the Lord, you know, fill my cup, till my cup runneth over. But not saying that you're not a child of God because you go through problems, situation. No, God is not saying that. It was a time when the apostles, they went out and they preached the gospel. They was whipped. They was beaten. And they came back. They were so in stress. They were so, shaken. And they went down in prayer. They went down in prayer. And the Bible said the same Holy Ghost, you know, that was in the day of Pentecost, came back through. Not came back through, but he filled the house where they were. And it was filled, you know, a second filling. Sometimes we just need a second dip. You know, we call it revival. Sometimes you've heard it, revival. Oh, I just need to be revived. I just need to be restored. Rest is good for stress. Rest, you can rest. Sometimes we just need rest. You know, you're working after this, you're working out of this. David said he meditated. You know, you have to give God time to sort out. You know, we're human beings. We need time sometimes just to sort out things. And the Jesus went away sometime. They took the apostles, and they went away, and they went to a quiet place. That helps. That helps. So whatever God has given you at a certain time, even a word, that was in Acts chapter 13. I was speaking of in the time that Paul and all of them, Silas, them, they was beaten, and the deputy and all of them, Barnabas and Saul, and they came back, you know, in also chapter 13 of Acts, but they had a new feeling. But also we need to constantly pray and talk to God, be in the right place. Because from time to time, we do get almost, you know, worried down and weirded out concerning the situation of this world. We can get so caught up, and, you know, the world wants you to cry with them, walk with them. But, you know, if we keep our mind on Him, He'll keep us in perfect peace. All right, we have a caller. Good call. I'm sorry. Go right ahead. Hello? Caller, you on the air. Push 1.
Yeah, good morning, Bishop Poe.
God bless you. God bless you, man of God. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Yeah, I just heard you quote the scripture which I was going to reference to in Isaiah 26:3. Those whose mind is staying on Jesus, He'll keep them in perfect peace. And
okay.
I think we tend to forget that we need to spend more time in the Word, you know, because even Second Peter tells us in the first chapter, Second Peter chapter 2, and I love this one. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And I can't think of it. Doesn't say be added, but multiply.
Mm-hmm.
So the more time we spend in God's Word, the more time we spend learning about Him, gaining knowledge about Him through His Word, God won't allow those worries to come in and to perplex us. And then we can be perplexed, but not in despair. We can be troubled, you know, but not in distress, because trouble's going to come. But the Word of God will keep that distress from coming into our lives. So the amount of time we spend in the Word is definitely important as to our growth and the multiplication, again, the multiplication of peace that God wants to give us. But we tend to allow the problems to overtake us. We tend to listen to the enemy, who gives us everything against what God says, and we don't trust the promises of God. The Bible is full of promises, and we have to realize that God is not a man that He should lie. and if we could just spend time and remember these promises. It may take time where we have to sit down some days and just line for line read the scripture until we commit it to memory and allow it, because how does faith come? It comes by hearing. If we're not hearing God's word, then we're not getting anything out of God, because we're not hearing. We don't allow ourselves time to hear. We can also, we have access to the internet. We have access to radio and to TV. But the internet, radio and TV will not always be with us. But our own voices, our words, what we hear gives voice to God's word in our lives. When you're sitting in a car driving, turn off the radio sometimes and just start repeating scripture God has given us regarding a situation in our lives, because there is no situation in our lives that scripture does not handle, does not refer to. So we have to just give God that time to allow us to hear his voice through our lips, not necessarily preaching, but our lips, our meditation. The scripture says that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable. Either meditate on it or speak it in those areas, walking down the street, going for a jog, repeating God's word, scripture. Faith is going to come by hearing. That peace is going to come by hearing. And the more time we spend in the word, I still like it. It's multiplied. God's peace is multiplied through his knowledge. Faith is not just added. It is multiplied. One times one, it gives you one. But you take 10 times one, you get 100 times one, you got 1,000. Can you imagine? If you get that much word in you, how much it is multiplied, how the devil can't get in, because there's this multiplication process going. He can't get through the multiplication process. So we have to spend that time in the word and just let God use his word and our voices. Remember, saints, our voices, we give voice to God's word by repeating his word in our own ears and thereby getting that peace we need. Thank you, Bishop.
God bless you. God bless you, man of God. And God bless you for the caller. We have another caller. We have another caller. You can come in and call in 1-347-215-8816. 347-215-8816. Very true. When you begin to speak out, you begin to speak out, and you hear it, you hear, but faith comes by hearing. And you, the more you speak out to yourself, or you have a CD tape on, cassette tape, are you hearing, hearing the word, and the more it builds up in you, and you be aware, we have to be careful, we be aware. I remember the early part of my Christian walk when the didn't have to be aware. Even now, you have to be aware. There's so much different music coming up today. Be married. Make sure you're listening to and quoting of the right. Is it the word of God? You know, have to make sure it's the word of God. Paul said in Ephesians 5:19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms. Now that's P-S-A-L-M-S, Psalms, Psalms 1, Psalms 2, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I know many of you can experience when you begin to wake up, you go down, a song will come to you, a word will come to you. Jesus said, he will send a comforter. He will send a comforter. And the comforter, he will comfort you. He will bring to all remembrance what he has said to you. So when you begin to be in this situation, I remember the man was saying one day, you won't allow any kind of animal, any kind of thing to come into your house. Like that night time down south, we have mosquitoes and all the different animals migrating, moving around. So you wouldn't let that allow those things to come into your house. And what you end up doing is spraying or find something to help to get all those out of the way, and you find something to be move them. And the same thing applies to your mind.
your mind, keep your mind on him. Stir up your mind with songs and hymns, the spiritual songs. And remember, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to do what you can. Do what you can to provide for your family, your home, and to protect your lifestyle, righteous lifestyle. Then after you've done all you can, you know, then turn it over to God. He's looking for you to sustain. He told Adam and Eve to do the world, protect the world, plant, you know, and harvest. And he gave them the job to do. And so we still, as men and women, we still have a job to do. All right, our time is closing near. And if you'd like to call, 1-347-215-8816, 347-215-8816. If you'd like to call, 1-347-215-8816. Remember, Jesus said he'd be with you always, even to the end of the world. Even to the end of the world. If you like to email us through our website, www.jciministries.org, www.jciministries.org. You can email me at seniorbishop@jciministries.org. Email seniorbishop@jciministries.org. Or if you like us on Facebook, you can go www.facebook.com/JesusChristInternationalMinistries.inc. That's facebook.com/JCI Ministries, Jesus Christ International Ministries.inc. If you can subscribe to us on YouTube, www.youtube.com/user JCI Ministries. www.youtube.com/user JCI Ministries. Or if you want to write, I'd like to have your input in all these four different areas. But if you just want to write, the JCI Doctrine of Truth, P.O. Box 2588, Tamarack, T-A-M-A-R-A-C, Florida, 33320, USA. JCI Ministries, Doctrine of Truth, P.O. Box 25888, Tamarack, T-A-M-A-R-A-C, / Florida, 33320, USA. God bless you. Our time is drawing near. We still have any callers that are listening, and you'd like to call. We'd like to hear from you and to be a part of the program, to give your opinion about handling stress, worration. Remember, God loves you and he cares for you. And we have to also be able to identify, number one, where our stress is coming from. You know, and it says stop in your mind. You know, say stop. I don't believe that. I don't study. You know, keep saying stop in your mind. Keep saying stop in your mind. You know, Bible says laughter is good like medicine. Laughter is good like medicine. Proverbs 17:22 said, you know, a down spirit, a bad spirit, it dries the bones. So laughter is a good medicine. It's good. It helps. You know, humor is good. It's good for the health. It's good for the health. So, you know, clean humor, a good laugh is also good to stop the worry and stress. If you can laugh at it, you know, work to the point. I know some things that people have gone through and you have gone through yourself, and now you can turn back and laugh at those things. It's good. It's good to be, you know, if you're able to continue to keep your humor, try to work to keep your humor on things whereby it doesn't, you know, if it's not in your priority list, we're talking about, you know, things that are prioritized, that you don't need to worry about that, you know, don't stress these different things, and, you know, don't worry about it to a certain extent. You have done all you can, and don't stress the small stuff. You know, don't stress the small stuff. And, you know, God is trying to, God is working on you like a tea bag, getting you to be aware of some of the things that you've been going through. You know, put the tea bag, he's squeezing out all the unnecessary weight. I remember when Paul was talking about, let us lay aside the weight. You know, sometimes we carry things that we don't need to carry because we used to do it many years ago. You know, maybe like certain hobbies. I used to love the fish, but it became a weight. You know, I had to prepare and put fish, golf, still love fish, and I still love those things. But I can get to them at a certain time. You know, vacation, or maybe sometime I can plan that it doesn't cause me to go all out the way and throw me off of my schedules. And, you know, you do too much sacrificing of spending money to hold those type of hobbies or hold those type of things. You know, reinvent yourself. Look at other small things that will help you to be, you know, accomplished. Eliminating stress and worration on you. You don't have to spend $1 million to buy a boat, you know, to ride, to lose stress, you know. There are other small things that you can do. Walking, you know, being in the right chat group, finding the right people, especially those that you know that's been going through the similar problems, and, you know, they're not going to broadcast or utilize your problem to capitalize on it, you know, these things. So God is the answer. So every now and then, if you look up and see a bird flying in the air, and he's still chatting and singing, you know, God can take care of you the same way. You know, he probably had problems. He loved a lot of things, but at the same time, he saw that you can look up and see the birds. Well, God can take care of the bird. I know he can take care of me. You know, and you look around and see, you know, the little ant. He's a very, very small animal, but the Bible says he's a wise animal. He's a wise animal. And whenever you're able and you identify, number one, you have to identify the areas of where stress and worries are coming from, or people, you know, identify those things, activities. Once you start identifying, then that eliminates information. You know, information is a very powerful tool. Ecclesiastes was talking about, you know, money is powerful, and also knowledge. You know, money and knowledge, they are powerful. They're powerful. So knowledge is equal. The more you know about the situation, the more you know about conditions and things like that, what you're going through and why, you know, the enemy might bring up some things and say, oh, this, that, and the other. So sometimes that's what the lack of information can create stress and problems. You find that scripture pertaining to knowledge in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, in the 11th verse, wisdom is good with an inheritance, by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense. The 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes, the 12th verse, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So you're able to defend yourself by what you know. You're able to defend yourself. Wisdom is a defense. So the more you know, about things and about yourself. You know, work on yourself. Work on yourself. Then you can help others. Don't know what you know. Work on yourself. Wisdom is a defense. Ecclesiastes 7 and 12 is a defense. And one of the prophecies that God's people are being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. That means lack of defense. They're not able to defend themselves from these fierce darts of the enemy. It is a fierce dart, stress. Worration is a fierce dart. You don't know where it's coming from, how it got there, but now you begin to pinpoint it. We hope, we're praying that this program has helped you pinpoint those areas in your life. And again, thank you for calling. And if you like to write, it'd be P.O. Box, JCI Ministries, Doctrine of Truth, P.O. Box 25888, Tamarack, Florida, 33320, USA, Tamarack, Florida, 33320, P.O. Box 25888, 25888, Tamarack, Florida, 33320, USA. And if you like us on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/user, JCI Ministries, www.youtube.com/user, JCI Ministries. Or you would like to go to our website, www.jciministries.org, www.jciministries.org. Or if you like us on Facebook, you can join us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/JesusChristInternationalMinistries.inc, facebook.com/JCIMinistriesInc. All right, we have a little more time left. Thank you for listening. If you can pass the word about sound doctrine, the doctrine of truth, the doctrine of truth. And we heard from time to time, we're sending out through email, then we will pick a certain time that you will hear us. You can always subscribe and go to a computer and go to Blog Talk Radio and look for Doctrine of Truth. You can hear this program again. Today, we're on live. We appreciate all our callers. And we ask them for your prayers. We pray for all those that are listening. All those, Father, we ask you to look upon those that are listening. You say, faith come by hearing, and Lord, in their hearing, and still in their spirit, God, that you are a God of love. You are a God of grace and kindness. You are able, if you allow, if we allow, if we trust him. Because, God, we know one day we're going to be in your hands totally. You gave us eternal life, and we're going to rest in your palm of your hands. You're going to take our spirit and take us to heaven to be with you. So, Lord, we know the problems and situation that we're going through today, we know you are building our trust in you. We know you are building our trust in your word that one day we're going to have eternal life. And, Lord, we ask you to look upon the hearers and listeners of the word, and they understand and follow after whatever they're going through. God, you right there with them, because you say you'd be with them always, even to the end of the world. So he's with you today. He's with you tonight. He's with you tomorrow. He's with you in every second. He's with you in your breathing. He's with you in your hearing. Oh, just be aware of him and depend on him. Because, and then do your part. Do your part. Listen, hear, go, talk. You know, God bless you. God bless you. We thank you so much. Remember, Doctrine of Truth, love you, and hope to have you be with us again. Spread the word about Doctrine of Truth, and you can hear us again on computer tonight and right after this broadcast. You can go to Blog Talk Radio. and look up Doctrine of Truth. God bless you, and have a Jesus-filled day.